Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, how to reuse kitchen scraps and yard debris while cutting back on the waste stream to the local landfill. Home composting.
It's really exciting because it's a form of recycling anyone can do from start to finish, and you just want to make sure that you're setting yourself up for a good time rather than a bad time. And so bears are the big thing to think about, a bad time. Hi, my name is Lisa Doherty and I run Juno Compost. We have a recycling service where we turn food scraps into soil amendments for local gardens, and been a home composter for over a decade and love composting. If you're composting food scraps, you want to make sure you have plenty of carbon on hand at all times so that no food scraps are ever exposed to the air. If you can see them, if you can smell them, then you're just kind of asking for trouble.
So home composting is different than the commercial operation here, right?
Yeah. On a home level, you might be working with a pitchfork and a shovel. And on my level, I'm using a front-end loader and doing things mostly mechanically.
So tell me about how you compost at home for your own garden.
Well, I actually just use my own service, so I haven't been running a compost pile at my home anymore. But for many, many years, I did. And so what it looks like is I'm collecting food scraps in a bucket under my kitchen sink. And then I actually have a laundry basket in my garden where I'm pulling weeds and putting those in there. And then my favorite home bin is a pallet bin where you stand up four pallets and tie them together at the corners. The front one I cut in half, and so you can actually access the inside of your bin is because it's not 4 feet high. And then you also have a cover over the top so it's not getting saturated by the rain. And so you're just trying to mix a diversity of materials. And so people tend to think about greens and browns or carbons versus nitrogens, but basically you're just trying to have a diversity of materials. So food scraps, yard debris, leaves, shredded paper, cardboard, sawdust, moss. I think the more diverse your inputs are, the better your compost is going to be.
I've heard terms browns and greens. Greens related to kind of the living stuff, browns to like paper and that sort of thing?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, everything has its own carbon to nitrogen ratio. It's not like food scraps are nitrogen and sawdust is carbon. It's just they have a ratio of those things within themselves to each other. And so the higher the ratio of the carbon, it tends to be like the dead things. Like if you have straw, that's a high carbon. But if you have grass, it's still green and growing, that's high nitrogen.
And do you mix or turn that pile in that bin on a regular basis? And do you add a little bit of water? Tell me more about the process.
Well, it really just depends on your style. So if you like to turn and you're able to turn, then turning will give you finished compost faster, because just providing more air to the pile is going to really allow the microbes to thrive. And so basically when you're building a compost system, you're building an ecosystem so that microbes are going to break down the material. And so they thrive on the same things we thrive on, which is food and oxygen and shelter. And so when you're turning, you're introducing more oxygen, and so it's going to happen faster. But you can certainly compost without turning, or without turning much at least.
And that's one of the reasons why we see these at retailers, these rotating compost bins, right?
Yeah, that is. I will say that I am not a fan of those drum turners. I have a couple that are on display here for when I do classes. The thing about them is they're kind of hard to crank unless they actually have a geared system in them. And also, you're putting everything inside, you're turning it, and yes, it's getting to be a great mixture, but in a pallet bin, you're able to put carbon over the top that kind of acts as a filter. So flies and bears and squirrels and ravens aren't attracted to your pile because there's no food scraps that are exposed to the air. With in this drum, yes, it's in plastic, but when you open the hatch to add more, like flies are going to fly out at you from the opening. And to me, that's not a very pleasant experience. I think of composting as you should feel like you're working in your garden. You shouldn't feel like you're working at the dump.
And that's why I see in some of in your commercial operation here, I noticed big pieces of cardboard along the edges in your piles here, right?
Yeah, so I have these things. It's called compost techs. It's basically a really expensive, fancy fleece cover that allows the compost to breathe so moisture can escape, unlike if you used a regular plastic tarp. But then it also sheds water. We do that just as an extra layer of protection so we're not having ravens and other animals come in and dig through our carbon to get down to our food scraps. I kind of run things a little more conservatively at the commercial site because the stakes are a little higher here.
So in the process of running your home composting operation and you're turning it to kind of aerate the material, how long does it usually take to break down?
It depends. I mean, you could throw in a full acorn squash that wasn't even rotten, and if you had the right mix and you were turning in, you know, less than a month, it would be completely gone and you could use that compost in your garden. But there's no such thing as like one kind of compost or finished compost versus not finished compost. It's not this exact point on a line. It's kind of more of a spectrum, thinking about, well, what are you going to use the compost for? If you're applying compost in the fall, it doesn't need to look completely broken down like coffee grounds for you to add it, because stuff is still going to be breaking down in your garden over the winter. Whereas if you were about to plant something, you'd want a compost that looked a little more stable. Yeah, I wouldn't say there's an exact date. If you're trying to make fast compost, you can make it within a couple of months. If you want more of a fine-tuned compost where bacteria have broken everything down, it looks finished, but you also want a bunch of worm castings in there, then you're going to want to let that compost age for a longer time. And so that's kind of what we try to do here commercially. We're holding on to stuff for a year, even though it looks finished within a couple months.
What should you not put in your compost pile?
I guess that depends on your experience. If you were just starting to compost, I wouldn't try composting weeds. If you know that you're achieving hot temperatures, then yeah, you can throw all the weeds, seeds included, in your compost bin. And so weeds are something to be careful of because you don't want to introduce a bunch of weeds into your garden yet again. And then other things that could be challenging are seafood. And so we don't even accept seafood commercially at our site just because we're afraid of bears in that regard. I would say seafood, meat, and weeds would be the challenging items.
How about spent grains from home brewing and my dog's poop?
Spent grains are good to go. Yeah, everybody loves those fermenting, stinky spent grains. They're pretty powerful stuff in terms of adding a lot of nitrogen and moisture to your bin. Dog poop, you can totally do it. It's a different level of management because, you know, maybe your dog has worms. It's just a little more challenging. And so there are plenty of people who compost dog poop and even human poop, but you'd want to do that when you have a lot of experience and you know that all parts of your pile are achieving high temperatures that kill pathogens.
Otherwise, you're just basically precipitating or transmitting those pathogens to whatever you're growing in your vegetables then, right?
Into the soil. And there's also kind of like an ick factor. So a lot of people who do compost those things will use it for ornamentals instead of using it to grow vegetables.
That was Lisa Doherty on home composting. You can sign up for the podcast or ask your own yard and garden question at ktoo.org/gardentalk. Master Gardener Ed Byarski will answer it in an upcoming segment.
KTOO's Garden Talk with Ed Byarski is sponsored by Don Abel Garden Center, locally owned since 1936, offering building and garden supplies to both commercial and residential customers throughout Alaska. More at donabel.biz.